When we rejoice in hallelujahs in heaven, weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Amen. I know y'all get tired of me in Matthew 24, but we'll read a little there. Thought about talking to our brother this week, and I thought about there's no doctor, no medication, there's no cure for conviction but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been sick and I've been under conviction. There's no cure for conviction but the Lord Jesus Christ. It's plain that nobody knows when the Lord's coming back. But it's pretty plain that none of us know when we're going to die. When we die, we know that we're going to stand before the Lord for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it for us. That's the end of it for us. Be judged whether we've done good or whether we've done bad.
That's right.
And I thought, and I thank God for, and I'm not that smart at all, but I thank God for the old prophets and the prophetic connections that they're having on TV, but they don't nobody know when the Lord's coming back. And they think they can figure it down. If this happens, it'll be 6 more years. Or if this happens, it'll be 5 more years. They don't know. They don't even know if we're going to be premillennial or postmillennial. We don't know. Never seen it. I hope and pray, you know. He said for the elect's sake, except for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be no flesh saved. So he is going to deliver us. He's going to take care of us. Matthew 24. We'll go down about 35. Matthew 24 and 35. And he said, "And verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass," I got 34, didn't I? "Till all these things be fulfilled," 35. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And I thought how we're trying to change the word of God to fit in to our everyday walk of life. How we're trying to fix the word of God till everybody can be going to heaven, till everybody can be fixed, everybody be taken care of, and nobody dies in sin, but that ain't according to the word of God. "Heaven and earth will pass, but my word shall not pass. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered unto the ark." I thought about it. We're ready to turn to Acts. Butch been reading it in Peter, and he said those that were rebellious, they didn't know the grace of God. And it said those that were sometime wandering off, you'll have to, I'm paraphrasing it, but the people that they wasn't right, and they Noah kept preaching, and grace wasn't there, they were under law, but Noah kept preaching 120 years and building the ark. And I'm sure he said somewhere along the way, there's a flood coming. There's never been a flood. Can I tell you something? There's never been a fire that burned up everything. Never been a fire that burned up everything, but there's one coming.
Amen.
He said heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God is going to stand. And the Bible plainly says in Psalms that the word of God is a light or a lamp under our feet. And it said for us to hide the word in our heart that we might not sin against God. We think when we get out from under, and this is the easiest generation that I've ever seen since I've been a Christian or since I can remember, that seemed like we can get by with just anything and we just go on in our way. And he said, just like it was in the days of Noah, and grace is here today. We've had every opportunity. We've had the Bible. And he said he's coming back when the word is preached in every nation. So I really believe that Jesus, as the 3 days that he was in the tomb, that he went to the prisons. That's what the Bible said. And he went into the prison and spoke to them that sinned under the law. Give them a chance under grace till they would be equal with you and I today. And we've been blessed above all nations. And as for my part, I can't even see Israel being blessed any more than America has been blessed. In my lifetime, Andy, we have prospered all the way from the time I can remember anything as a little boy, pulling out from under hard times, war times. Didn't have anything much, but we have prospered and things have been good. And America has put other things. They've set up other gods instead of God Almighty that died on the cross that we could be set free. We've put other gods, amen, and we've done other things instead of keeping his house open and keeping the Spirit of God in his house. And it's almost in my house or in the churches, it's the most spiritless time that I've ever seen. And I desire the Spirit of God, and I can go down to the altar and pray. So there ain't nobody there but me and God. And I go down to the altar and pray, and I've got a problem. I can't get through like I one time did. It seemed like a barrier there that I don't quite understand it all. When you're doing the same thing you've always doing, the best you know how, and still there's a barrier there that you can't get through, and seemingly, but we're not keeping our minds on it. And the brother mentioned there that he'd been drunk for a while, and our minds are not sober. Our minds are in every direction. We got so many things going, but the Bible plainly said they were having a party. What we are so taking care of self, they were just about a party there. It said, for as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered unto the ark. And I thought about in a wedding, when you have a wedding, and I've been so aggravated at some weddings, people having a wedding, that this is the only wedding that's ever been. We're the only people that's ever been. And we've got to do all of this way. And he said, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. So if we're not careful in some of these things we're doing, we leave God totally out of it. And I believe that's why the separation rate, the divorce rate is up. And I may have not said divorce right, but glory to God, there's a separation come like I've never seen before. People don't love like they one time loved. The church vows, the marriage vows don't mean anything. The covenant on the church wall and the word of God don't seem to matter to the majority of people today, as long as we can eat, drink, and marry, and give in marriage and do exactly what we want to do. And until the time comes, and there's a time coming, honey, that we're going to be woke up. There's a time coming that we're going to realize that this word of God is real. I've thought about it, and we've said it, and some of us have talked one-on-one, and I don't see how people make it without the Lord. And these people that have been saved and sat in church and felt the power of God, and then go back out into the world, I don't see how they're surviving. I really don't understand how they're making it. There ain't no wonder they won't answer you the phone calls. There ain't no wonder they won't talk to you. But he said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And today, I believe church is less essential today than any place I know of. Our work is more essential. Our home life is more essential. Whatever we've got to do. And I thought it's kind of like a sickness. You know, as long as everybody else is sick and it ain't you, it ain't too bad. But when sickness comes to your house, it's a little different story. I understand Corona like I didn't understand Corona before. I understand a heart attack like I didn't understand a heart attack before. But after we pull through it, if we ain't careful, we're still not thankful. We're not going to come back and give God praise, honor, and glory. And he said, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I thought about the scripture where the seed was thrown on the rock, and when the sun come out and scorched it, it just withered away. It didn't do anything. And that's kind of how it did with the children there of Israel when Noah was building the ark. And he said that two will be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. One woman shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. He said, watch therefore, 42nd verse, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So the Bible tells us, in another place it tells us to watch and to pray. Watch and to pray. Because we don't know the hour when the Lord is coming back.
That's right.
And it's scary to me. It's scary to me the condition that I get in. Trying my best to be at church every service, try to read my Bible, try to pray, try to do everything the best I know how according to the Word of God. But I'm cold in a wet rock. Amen. It seems like I can't shout. I can't shout like I one time shouted. I can't get stirred like I one time got stirred. I just don't believe it's old age. I just believe the Spirit of God ain't like it one time was. We've let too many things take away the Spirit of God. God's still God, and God ain't changed. Don't go wrong with me there. God ain't changed. But we got so many things on our mind. So much to clutter up our mind. Cell phones hanging on every little yogurt in town. Contacts like we never had before. What's therefore? For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that in the good man's house, that if the good man of his house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You would think the children there, as Noah was building the ark, you would think, even though they'd never seen a rain, or they'd never seen an ark like this, they'd never seen a boat like this, and you would think that they would have listened to a little bit of what Noah was saying. But they didn't believe. And I believe Noah was preaching that he's coming, the flood's coming,
yeah.
It's going to rain. I don't know exactly when or how deep it's going to be, but God said, give me the measurements, said build the ark.
Yeah.
You know, you can preach today and it's just like the old preacher used to say, like water on a duck's back.
Yeah.
It just sheds right off. It seemingly that the word ain't for us. He said if the old thief had, the man had known when the thief was going to come, he would have watched his house. And it wouldn't have been broken into. Some of y'all may, your house may have been broken into, but we've talked to some people at different times, two or three different ones. And I remember a lady just up the road here, just a short distance, when her house was broke into, and actually it was broke into twice, and she wouldn't go back home. She stayed with Mom and Daddy. She stayed in different places because it was fear that the thief had come in and stole, and you didn't know who was watching or when the thief was going to come. That's what the Bible said for us to do. He said for us to watch and to pray. Because the Lord is coming back and we don't know when. We don't know what hour that the Lord is coming back. So they wouldn't have broke into our house if we'd been standing there waiting for them or watching with a gun. But that's how the thief comes. And John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and to destroy.
Amen.
But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
So we don't need to have fear of death or fear of going to heaven. We need to know that our heart is right with God. We need to know that Jesus is in our heart, that Jesus is our heartbeat. If we don't know that, we need to be in the altar tonight.
Amen.
It don't matter if they're in California. If they don't know Jesus is in their heart, they need to be in an altar somewhere.
Amen.
Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I believe the Lord wants us to work. I believe he wants us to do something. I believe he wants us to be on the move.
Amen.
What I'm trying to preach is finish our work or finish. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the course.
I've kept the faith.
I've finished my course. That's what he said. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So we've not finished. I've not finished my course. I thought last year it was over, but it wasn't. It wasn't. I've not finished it. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, I believe from the depths of my heart that America has said the Lord is delaying his coming.
Yeah.
I believe that we in America have said we have gained so much, we have so much goods, we are the great nation that everybody looks up to. I believe that's why we're in the shape that we're in right now.
Amen.
If I win a battle, it'll be God.
Right.
If we help win a soul, it'll be God. If anything good comes out of me, it'll be God. There's nothing good in me. I'm flesh. There's nothing good in me but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. So he needs praise. He needs honor. He needs glory. I thought, and I know y'all can't think where I think sometimes. I don't blame you. You got more mind than I got. But sometimes I think it's a total miracle. A total miracle to have God has used us. If I sit down and think on it, it's such a blessing to think where I was at in 1968 and what God has done since then. And how much more he could have done if I'd have lived closer. If I'd have given him more authority in my life. If I'd obeyed the word of God more. But and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant. Hey, ain't that where we're at today? Everybody we talk to is talking about somebody so ill. People you used to could pick at, pick on, say a few words, you can't say nothing no more. I told Janet, I said, Sue's gone, and you're the only one left that I could pick on. I said, looks like you about done. About picked all I can pick, looks like. And shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and to drink with the drunkard. We've took the word of God out of our schools. We've made our children heroes on the ball field. And we've hollered and hooped for them because they hit one home run. And we've come to church well. Y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
We put so much emphasis on getting an education and a good job, that's going to perish. We need a good job. Don't get me wrong. We need some people to work. We shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and to drink with the drunkards. Do you know anybody that's went back to eating and drinking with the drunkards? Went back to the same old bar stool? He said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. If we ain't in God's will, we're not looking for him to come back.
Amen.
He says he's going to come back in an hour when we're not aware of it, and shall cut him asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have backslid when we say the Lord's delayed his coming. Turn over to John. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. That'll be good. Luke 14. Luke 14 and 20. And there went out a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Is that the word of God?
Amen.
Yes.
The Lord's got to be first. And that's not telling us to hate our wife or our mom and daddy. That's telling us, in comparison to the love of God, that's telling us that God has got to be first.
Amen.
That's telling us that we can't stop along the way and do what husband wants to do, or wife wants to do, or children wants to do. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to put something before God.
Amen.
Let me read that again. We are looking for an excuse to not follow God, to justify ourselves. And if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's putting stipulation on being a disciple. And he said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And in one of the other scriptures, Matthew or John, it said to bear our cross daily. Pick up your cross daily and follow the Lord. Here it just says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross, that's carry his cross, and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
Neighbor, can I tell you today, some that one time bore their cross, carried the load, helped keep the church doors open, they ain't there no more.
Amen. That's right.
Are they disciples of Christ? Or are they like them in the Bible? Have they gone away? See, this is a hard saying. Who can follow it? I promise you, I've been told lately that I was too hard for people to come to this church. For which of you, these three verses right here is what? 28th verse. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? That's what I'm preaching on, finish it. Whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold or all that see it begin to mock him. Is the church being mocked today? The foundation is laid, is Christ. We went to the creek and was baptized. We joined the church, made an open profession of faith. We stood up and testified, but we've not finished the work. We've not finished the house that we started. We've not finished the tower, the temple, or we've not finished what we started for God. We've not finished what we testified of. And he said, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I don't know what Satan told you all, but he told me hundreds of times that I'd never be able to finish. Don't step out and tell people you're saved because you won't be able to finish. He said, don't step up and be a deacon because you won't be able to finish. Don't testify the goodness and the healing of God because you won't be able to finish. How many is mocking the church, the people? How many is saying, I know they wasn't going to make it no way? And it don't matter what people say. It don't matter whether they think I'm going to make it or not.
That's right.
But it matters what God thinks of me.
Amen.
And if I started a good work and never finished it,
that's you. It's all you.
They're mocking me, making fun of me, laughing at me. How many in our churches today are being laughed at? How many of our churches are being laughed at? We got one in our church, and I do not understand how Satan set up the abode like he set up the abode and took charge back over. I don't understand. But I can see with my eyes it's happening. I believe Lamont preached it. I think. Then we need to bring it before the church.
Yeah.
Take some names off the book if they won't straighten up.
That's right.
We're in agreement. We took the name off the book.
Yeah.
My Lord and my God. But the main thing ain't taking your name off of the church book. How about out of the book of life?
Amen.
Have we lost our vision that hell is a literal burning hell? To a point, a person has sat in church and said, I'll just burn in hell with you. We don't know what we're saying. We have lost our vision.
Amen.
Satan has blinded us because of the lust of the flesh.
Right.
And they'll tell you this can't happen. It's happening in our land today.
Yeah.
It's happening around us today. Let me read that again. For which of you, intending to build a tower, setteth not down first, and counteth the cost wherein he hath sufficient to finish it? You think about our marriages. Think about it. That's a vow that we made, a vow. Our children, not one of our children ask to be in this world. So we have said we will raise them. We'll do everything we can for them. I know there comes a stopping point. I understand that. But maybe if we don't bring our kids to church. I talked to mine this week. And he said, I think he's 17, 18 months old. He said, he don't know what church is. I said, but Scott, he knows as much about church as will anything else. They won't never know about church if they don't get them in there. We need to start disciplining our children.
Amen.
The church ain't a playhouse. It's a real house of the living God. Lest happily, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin, they begin to mock him. There used to be, Mom rented a house off her aunt and uncle. $12 a month, I remember that well. But there was a house, that house, at one time, a man started the house, got it under roof and part of the siding on it. No windows, no doors. Never did finish the house. And the house was sitting there decaying. And my uncle bought the house. Went ahead and finished it up, rebuilt it. It was a place for us to rent, a place for us to live. I was probably, 11, 12 years old. But I thought about it, it was a mockery. There it was, half finished. How about a child of God that's half finished? Mm-hmm. Never finished the race. Never went on. Made a profession, testified, was baptized. The people going by, they're mocking, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I got one more verse and I'll quit. John. Let's flip over to John 4. I may have read this the other day, I don't know, but I did when I preached on the woman with the at the well, had five husbands, and one she had now wasn't.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but the disciples come back, and I believe the disciples were following as close to God as anybody as anybody else was. They were following close to the Lord. But they were worried about Jesus because he hadn't eaten. And they asked, it said, has anybody fed him? Has anybody took care of him? The 33rd verse in the fourth chapter. And he said, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man bought him aught to eat or bought him anything to eat? 34th verse, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Amen.
And to finish his work.
Yeah.
And Jesus ate just like we did, just like we do. But he said, my meat is to do what he wants me to do and to finish his work. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Pray for me that I can finish the work. I've tried to stand 53 years, over 53, for the Lord. But maybe I could fall tomorrow. That'd be a mockery on the testimony, a mockery on the house of God. It would be a stumbling block and a hindrance to every Christian brother and sister that I'd ever preached to. I think we need to realize that we ain't just me no more, that I'm a child of God. And I've got a total obligation to finish his work. To give it the last and the best that I've got to finish his work. To let people know I believe what I preach.
Amen.
I know. God hadn't touched as long as I waited with 100% blockage and I wouldn't go to the doctor, I'd have died. But God,
so did I.
God looked over my ignorance.
Yeah.
Never did knock out. He took care of us. So I owe him. I need to finish my work. If you ain't got a work, start your work. Testify to somebody. Just pull y'all somebody to the side. Tell them what Jesus has done. I'm done. Anybody else got anything on their heart?